Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Ty, you missed a heck of a good time on the tailgate. I mean, a heck of a good time.
Sounded like a good time.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And I got to, can I, for a moment, give a shout out to someone?
Go ahead, do your thing.
So I was, you know, I like to have things done for me. I can tend to get a little bit lazy, as you know, Ty.
Absolutely.
So we're sitting there, and I look down, and I recognize my phone is at like 8%. And I said, does anyone have a charger? And a nice guy gives me a charger. Terrific, wonderful. But I don't want to get up and go charge it on my own. So, because it's the ESPN tailgate, I have a little bit of, I don't say power, but, you know, I'm looked at as somewhat of a god in these people's eyes, which you can understand, right?
Yeah.
So I turned to this guy, Sal, nice guy, and said, can do me a favor. I said, go charge the phone. He says, I don't want to do it. Please don't make me do it. I said, come on, Sal. I said, do me a solid. He said, all right, fine, Dave. And he gets up and he walks and he stays with the phone and charges it for about 20 minutes and brings it back with 25%.
Wow, what a guy.
Now, what a guy, right?
I do got to ask you this, mm-hmm. And I don't know if you want to pull the curtain too far. Was there anyone, a fan or anyone there at the tailgate mm-hmm. who was annoying, who you could have just done without?
No, nobody. There were a couple of people that were a little clingy.
Oh, yeah, you hate that.
But no one that I would look at and say was outwardly annoying, no.
Well, because you guys...
For the most part, I mean, these are our fans. For the most part, Ty, they were nothing short of sensational.
I was going to say, you guys performed this contest, if you will, on the air where yes. you're selecting, you know, group of...
And, and to our credit, we selected the finest of the fine.
Exactly, okay, so that was going to be my question. Like, yeah, how would you rate your selection?
A-plus. Second to none, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, people were bringing, you know, like, it brought me a chalice with the show's name in it.
Oh, yeah, that was tweeted out. I saw that on Twitter.
Yeah, so that's usually when things are tweeted out. You will tend to see it more times than not on Twitter. But, yes, it was a good time. But I promised Sal that I would give him a little credit for going and charging the phone, and I wanted to do that. So thank you to Sal for charging the phone. 800-919-3776. Now, I am a little disappointed in Marvin in the Bronx. Let's go to Marvin. Marv, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, I couldn't make it some person.
Oh, Marv, you gave me this whole song and dance last week. You're coming out to the tailgate. It's appointment viewing for you, and you didn't show up.
Look, the photos I took in Iraq, I'm going to mail them to you. I'm going to have them blown up and mail them to you. I got ESPN's radio address, and I will mail them to you this week. All right?
I guess.
I was really looking for you, my man. I was really looking forward to meet you, and something personal came up, and I was just heartened. But I want
right.
to say
well, I hope everything is okay, but to say I wasn't more than a little disappointed for you not to go last night would be an understatement.
I want to say two things, all right? As a lifetime Yankee fan, I've been a Yankee fan since 1964, I've always espoused Brian Cashman's, you know, ability as a general manager. And I'm now glad that people are finally seeing how good and adept this guy is at what he does, all right? And the second thing I want to say, I'll believe this to the day I die, James Harden and Mike D'Antoni will never win a championship.
Never.
Because I knew, I watched that game in the beginning of the fourth quarter. I said to myself, Golden State's going to win this game. And someone would ask me why. I said, because you never doubt the heart of a champion. And I could see their championship feel coming out. You know, and I said, they're going to win this game. And James Harden this morning has to look himself in the mirror because he, in little words, choked.
But he always does, Marv. He always does this. And thanks for the call. Why we're surprised that James, you know, I have had enough of James Harden scoring 1,000 points in 100 consecutive regular season games. And then in a 1-point game with 4 minutes to go in the postseason, he can't, you know, where is that unbelievable dribble, going by four guys, bringing it to the basket and laying it. Where is that? Why does that vanish? Because the competition is better? You know, give me Steph Curry, and I've said this before, give me Steph Curry any day of the week over James Harden. And I was shocked at the amount of people that said, this is Houston's to lose now. Shocked. Houston is a good team. But Golden State is a championship pedigree. And I understand that you take away Kevin Durant, but you still have immense talent on that team. I mean, you saw a tale of two cities last night. You saw James Harden, big moments, desperate for baskets, can't get them. A non-existent Steph Curry. A non-existent Steph Curry. Give you nothing until his team desperately needed it, and he's hobbled, and it's winning time, and he takes over the game. That was disgraceful from Houston. Disgraceful. So, yeah, you know what? When we get to next February 23rd and James Harden goes for 67, that's great. When do you ever do it? In May and June. And you know what the answer is? He doesn't. Because last year they were the better team, but Chris Paul gets hurt and they just couldn't manage with that. Well, this year they think they're the better team. Now KD goes down and they still lose. And at home, oh, if I was a Rockets fan, I would be throwing up all over myself right now. Disgusting. James in Spring Valley. James, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. What's going on, man? I've been very impressed with the Yankees, with their injuries that have been. And as a Yankee fan, it makes me very happy.
Of course it does. They're one of the best teams in baseball, and they're not even close to healthy.
Of course. And here's my question. With the job that Aaron Boone is doing with no-name guys like Gio Urshela and Mike Topman, and if you asked me a month ago that those two would be contributing to the Yankees and being hacking out of first place, I would probably...
Yeah, James, if I asked you a month ago about Gio Urshela and Mike Topman, you'd have said, Dave, who are you talking about? What team are you talking about?
Exactly. Like, I would think you're talking about the Tampa Bay Rays, actually. But, my question is, would you consider Aaron Boone being one of those candidates for AL Manager of the Year? I know that what Bardelli
is too
doing.
Early. It's too early.
Early?
It's too early. We're a quarter of the way through the season. It's too early.
And before I go, can I make a quick James Harden point? I think James Harden is the most overrated player ever. I don't ever want to hear him say he's better than Curry, he's better than Leonard. I don't want to hear it. He's the most overrated player.
Overrated.
He will never, ever, ever, ever win any championship with him.
Completely overrated. I mean, I could not agree with you more. And I'm going to let you in behind the curtain a little bit, James. Thanks for the phone call. Ty and I actually had a wager. What do we bet? Lunch, Ty? Is that correct?
Lunch or dinner.
Probably lunch. But lunch or dinner. And this is, what would you say, maybe January?
Yeah, probably mid-January.
Okay. And I said, I will take James Harden for MVP, and he has Giannis. And at the time, I think that Harden was the prohibitive favorite to win MVP. And last night, Ty is texting me, say, how could you have done that? He's not a big-time player. First of all, I don't like his game at all. Second of all, I never took James Harden with the thought that in the crunch time moment, he would come up big. I just thought that he was going to win the MVP. I almost, honestly, Ty, hope to lose that bet.
Well, you're going to lose it. Giannis is going
because
to be the MVP.
I have such a disdain for James Harden. And, I mean, what you've seen from Giannis is exactly what you would hope from any superstar. That the bigger the game, the better he gets. And Paul Pierce had the audacity to come out and say, well, this series is over. Now, Paul was right. He just was right with the wrong team. Not realizing that Milwaukee would now roll over his beloved Boston Celtics. But Giannis has shown his worth and then some this postseason. And James Harden, in typical James Harden fashion. And please don't call me and say, do you know how many Harden scored? Harden scored 34. I don't care. I don't care if he scored 107. When they desperately needed baskets late in the game, what did he do? What he always does. What he always does. And that is shrivel up and vanish.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Mother's Day tomorrow, of course, so hopefully you have your plans in place and your flowers are purchased and your cards are purchased as well. We have a lot to do today. 800-919-3776. So first, let me take a minute and let you inside the locker room. inside of the amazing tailgate yesterday. It was, now if you remember, this started with Rick and I, and you can hear Rick, Chris, and I, 10 to 1, Monday through Friday, right here, 98.7 ESPN. This started probably, at least 6 weeks ago, where Rick and I said, you know what, we're all in on the Mets. We're all in, Thelma and Louise style, off the cliff, bandanas, the whole thing. And it went from that little conversation to what yesterday turned into, which was a great show from BK Sweeney's from 10 to 1. Fans poured out to the event. Then we hung out there till about 3. BK Sweeney's a great establishment in Bethpage, by the way. Provided transportation for us, provided food and beverage for us. We make the trek to Citi Field. We get out of the bus. There's cornhole. There's beverages. There's food. I mean, just an unbelievable time. And then we go into the stadium. Fans were rollicking. It's fun. And the Mets put up 8 runs in the first inning. The most runs they've scored in the first inning since, when do you think? 1989. And they destroy the Marlins in what was the most successful, amazing tailgate possible. So a big thank you to everyone at our station who was involved. Big thank you to all the fans that came out. It was wonderful. It really was. All right, so that was last night. Mets with a big win. And of the moments in New York sports and the moments in national sports last night, as big as the Mets win was for us and for the tailgate, probably not the story of the night. Story of the night, locally, has to be the Yankees. And now they have to be, and it's amazing because we have taken the Yankees from this pedestal of Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, Didi, Bird, Voit, Ellsbury, right? I mean, Andujar, you know, Paxton, Severino, Betances, and they have been ravaged by injury. And it was touch and go there for a little bit, and they had a tough start to the season, and then injury after injury after injury. And you finally start to get to the point where you say, you know, I think we're going to be okay. Guys are slowly starting to come back, and the Yankees find their way above 500. And now they've started to not just win, they're playing terrific baseball. And the thing that's so impressive about the Yankees is they do it with guys you didn't know existed 6 weeks ago. If I would have walked up to a real Yankee fan, a legitimate Yankee fan, and said the name Gio Urshela, they would have said, God bless you. You would have not known the reaction. If I would have told you 6 weeks ago that Gio Urshela would be the piece to the Yankees that made this little engine go, you would have gotten the guys with the white coats to come out, grab me, and put me away. And that's exactly what's happening. There is no bigger, better player for the Yankees right now. He has the game-winning hit, 2 RBI single, Yankees go up 4-3. And then Ottavino, the new acquisition, who really should be a Met if Brody was paying attention. But he didn't. He wasn't. And now LeMahieu and Ottavino are Yankees instead of Mets. But we know why that is. But we're not going to rip on the Mets now. It's not the point. Point is, Ottavino comes in, bases loaded, and you think to yourself, oh boy, these Rays are good. This is what the Rays do. They always find a way. Not exactly sure how they do, but they always find a way. And boom, 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 Ottavino strikeout, double play, out of the inning. Yankees hold on for a 4-3 win. Chapman comes in, closes it down. I don't know if you feel like this, but to me, the Yankees are more fun now because it's unexpected. This is not the $220 million payroll of Stanton and Judge and Severino and Betances and Chapman. And, you know, we've paid a fortune for these guys. They're our players. We will crush them like Drago. Right? That's what they're like. I think if you're just around the game of baseball and it's the Yankees and you know what they are, it's kind of hard to root for them. Not if you're a Yankees fan. But if you're just a fan of baseball and you see the Yankees winning with guys, you're like, wait, who? Gio Urshela? Who? Who's making these big plays? There's no Severino. There's no Betances. There's a hobbled Andujar. This club is not anything close to what we expected them to be. Let's be honest. This is a good baseball team. That's what they are right now. This is a good baseball team. And I think if you're a Yankees fan, you take solace in the fact that not only are you a good baseball team, but you're a good baseball team with guys that you didn't even expect to have huge roles on this club. There's no way that when the Yankees signed DJ LeMahieu, you thought to yourself, all right, that's a guy we're going to count on. But it's a great signing, and it brings me to the point that I want to get into, an 800-919-3776. If you have the audacity to call today, to call next week, to call next month, to call next year, and rip on Brian Cashman, you have no concept of what you're talking about. This guy is the elite general manager in baseball. All he does is put his team in position to win year after year after year. And I can't tell you how many calls I've taken over the years. He's not that good. He doesn't have a pulse of the team. He puts them in positions not to win. He's the best. Do you know what? As a Mets fan, I would give up to have Brian Cashman running my team. Look at it. Mets need a relief pitcher. Mets need an infielder. Yankees need a relief pitcher. Yankees need an infielder. Mets wind up with Jairus Familia, who's on the DL and doesn't even disappoint you that he is, and Jed Lowry, who I think is still with the organization but hasn't taken an at-bat yet. Yankees wind up with Adam Ottavino and DJ LeMahieu. You tell me. Gio Urshela, Cameron Maben, Mike Tauchman. I mean, he has done an unbelievable job. So the Yankees are rolling. Now, the Red Sox have gotten themselves back into contention as well. But the Yankees are absolutely rolling right now. And do you have any doubt that they're going to win this division? I mean, any modicum of a doubt that the Yankees will come back and win this division? They're a half game behind the Rays right now. Now, Glasnow goes out of the game last night. We don't know the extent of that injury. But the Yankees are going to win this division. And they'll probably win it going away. And your big test is going to be, as it has been, as it will be this year and moving forward, Houston. But can we finally put to rest that Brian Cashman's not an elite general manager? Or forget about an elite general manager. Can we finally put to rest that Brian Cashman is not probably the best GM in the game? He is. So instead of whining and bemoaning about, well, you know, we should have brought in Bryce Harper and he should have brought in Manny Machado, how about standing up and calling and giving the guy credit for doing what he's done? You're getting production from guys you didn't know walked the face of the planet a month ago. And now they're leading you to where you are. 800-919-3776. So spend certainly some time on the Yankees. Great win. Ottavino, terrific. Urshela, another big base hit. Herman wasn't great, still good, and you got to be impressed with what you've seen from him. Lot to do. NBA, just to let you know, I am going to savagely abuse the Houston Rockets at some point today, because what they did in this series is comical. And I will tell you that as the guy on a team, James Harden will never win a championship. And he, you know, enough of, well, Harden scored 36 consecutive games of 49 points or more. How about this? Take the basketball in a huge spot, in a close game, in the postseason, and put it in the basket. How about that for a novel idea? So we'll get into that. We'll get into the Knicks. The draft lottery is Tuesday. And, of course, you can hear it right here on 98.7. There's a ton to do. You know what we give to you today. Stump Rothenberg, 10:30. RJ Bell, 11 o'clock. It's a really busy Saturday morning.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
And how good is Jet McNeil, by the way? I mean, how good is he? He's hitting 365. Now, obviously, that's not going to hold. But honestly, Jeff McNeil is a 330 hitter. I fully believe that. Jeff McNeil is a 330 hitter. So we got the Yankees, and they're great. And what they've done is remarkable. And you got to give Cashman a ton of credit. And Aaron Boone, too. And I'll tell you why you got to give Aaron Boone credit. Because if the Yankees were 15-25, you know who you'd call and kill? Aaron Boone. He doesn't have emotion. He's not a good manager. His pitching changes aren't good. He can't motivate the guy. He never argues for Judge. That's what you do. So on that vein, if you would call me and tell me that Aaron Boone just can't or isn't or won't, then when they're rolling along, you got to give him credit. If you rip a guy when they're not good, you got to give him credit when they are. 800-919-3776. Let's go to John in Secaucus. John, you're on 98.7.
Hi, Dave. Good morning.
What's going on, John?
Not much. I got two quick points, and then I'd like to hear your thoughts. One, I always thought Brian Cashman was almost very similar to Bill Belichick on how they get these guys that they may not always make the biggest splashy move, but they always seem to know to get these guys that when something happens, they fit right into the spot and he's got them performing. And my other quick question was to you, I don't know, it seems like a conspiracy theory, I guess, but why does it seem like these guys all come up like this, we're having fun watching them, they're doing great, and then as soon as they get the big contracts, everyone gets hurt? I mean, your thoughts on that, and thank you for taking my call.
I just think it's luck of the draw. I mean, you think there's a reason that I think Severino might have been hurt before he got the big contract. So I don't buy in at all to that. As far as Cashman on Belichick level, I don't put anybody on that level. I don't. And let's be fair, and I know the Yankee fan doesn't want to hear it. Right off the bat, the Yankees are an advantage because they can spend more money than almost every other team in baseball. And I'm not saying that Cashman, and you play within the rules, but I'm not saying Cashman hasn't done a great job. But Belichick, do you understand what Belichick has done? They've been the best team in football for 20 years. That does not happen. And he's done it with a great offense. He's done it with a great defense. He's done it with great special teams. No matter what needs to be done, they get it done. He's done it without picks. He's been good without Brady. Now, they've never won without Brady, but they went 11-5 without Tom Brady. He's done it with a running game. He adjusts. So I take nothing away from Brian Cashman at all. I think he is sensational. But to compare him to Belichick, I can't and I won't do that. 800-919-3776. We roll along on a Saturday morning. Let's go to Nikki in Atlanta. Nick, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, I just wanted to get your take, man. With how good Urshela is playing, you know, defensively, he's phenomenal. He's back.
He is amazing, but he always has been, Nick. That's the knock on Urshela has always been offensively, he is tremendously challenged.
Well, exactly. He's back like 354. So do we have to have a serious conversation when Andujar is 100%? Who's our third baseman?
Well, here's the question. Does Andujar ever get to be 100%? And I think that's your real question, because he's not a good defensive player to begin with. And if he's hampered with that arm injury, then what do you do? I think without fail, you absolutely have to play Urshela right now.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the phone call. Don't you agree? It has to be right now. Urshela has to be your everyday third baseman. He's way better defensively. And if he's going to hit, let's be fair, he's the better player. Now, can you get some time for Andujar as the DH? I mean, you can get time for Andujar in other spots. But everyday third baseman, I don't even think it's up for debate. It has to be Urshela. George in Lodi. George, you're on 98.7.
Good morning.
What's up, George? How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am good.
Good. Well, what I wanted to say was, you know, Harden shouldn't be surprising us, you know, anyone, because he shows time and time again he's a great regular season scorer, but when it comes to the playoffs, he buckles. He's always looking for foul shots. That doesn't fly in the playoffs. They don't call it the same. So, I mean, I don't see this guy winning a title unless you get something better than Chris Paul around him. And they got like 80% of their cap with five players. What are they going to do?
I think that you've seen look, they might be good again next year. They could win 57 games in the regular season. They could get the one seed. But until I watch them hoist the trophy, there is no way I believe in this team. None.
Unless the Warriors move to the Eastern Conference.
Which I don't see, because a team from California would be strange if they were in the East.
No, I'm just saying that's always going to be a problem for them.
Of course, let's be fair. Thanks for the call, George. Maybe if Kevin Durant leaves, right? And see, I actually think Kevin Durant leaving is good for the entire NBA. Kevin Durant leaves, and all of a sudden, it's wide open. Because right now, let's be fair, they are by far the best team. They are by far the best team. And I would give Milwaukee a little chance, but if they're fully healthy, I honestly don't expect them to not win this championship again. But if he leaves, they're still relevant. Houston's relevant. Denver, Portland, Milwaukee, Boston, Philadelphia. I mean, could you imagine if he comes to the Knicks? The Knicks become relevant. So all of a sudden it goes from there's a super team that will win to there's many teams that have a chance. And for me, I think that's better for the league. 800-919-3776. John in the car. John, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave, two quick points.
Yep.
First one is I don't see the difference between James Harden's game and Carmelo Anthony. And that's why he'll never win a championship.
Well, I got to be honest with you. I think that James Harden is, in my mind, a better player than Carmelo Anthony. He's a better offensive
player.
Probably,
but the same game, though. Same mindset.
Well, yeah, give me the ball, get out of my way, and watch me score the basketball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Second point is, as a Knicks fan, we need to be rooting for Golden State, because if Golden State doesn't win, KD can say, they couldn't win without me. So I can stay here, protect my legacy, and make more money.
John, I understand what you're saying, and I don't even disagree with you, but honestly, I have no idea. I mean, Kevin Durant could be sitting there talking to his friends saying, I'm going to New York. Or he could be sitting there laughing, saying, they think I'm going to New York. I'm staying here. Like, I understand what you're saying, but I think we're completely speculating right now with that.
Absolutely. And he could change his mind in the last second. Who knows?
Right. Right. I mean, look, he could have a great meeting with the Knicks and they tell him what he wants to hear and he comes here. He could have a meeting with the Knicks and he hears something that upsets him and he decides, you know what? I'm not. I'm going to go to the Clippers or the Lakers or stay with Golden State. We have no idea. And thanks for the phone call, John. We have no idea. I understand the avenue of if they win without him, but they've already won without him. They won without him and they were a 73-win team without him, who collapsed in the NBA Finals. Now, he's gone there, and they've done nothing but win. He's amazing. And you see what they're doing, by the way? Every step of the way, Kevin Durant is the best player on this team, and we go nowhere without Kevin Durant, and we're just fortunate to be here without, you know, Kevin Durant. We're nothing. They will do anything that they need to do to put the wheels in motion to potentially keep him. Jack in Park Slope. Jack, you're on 98.7.
Dave, how you doing, man? Before I get started, I saw a picture of you on Twitter. You have slimmed down. You look tremendous, man.
Thank you. Handsome, too, yes?
Now, excuse me?
Handsome, too, right?
Oh, no question.
Yeah,
no
thank
question
you, Jack.
About it. Your wife, very lucky woman.
Thank you.
Okay, before we get started, Miguel Andújar. Everybody's just bouncing this guy off as like he did nothing last year. Almost hit 300, almost 30, almost 100 RBIs, 47 doubles, extra base hitting machine. I realize he is not good defensively. People are just like tossing him aside.
No,
like
no, Jack, I'm not tossing him anywhere. Right now, for me, with Stanton out, he'd be my DH every day.
No question about it. But,
who plays a better third base, Urshela or Andújar?
Oh, or Urshela. No, defensively.
And it's not close. But I'm not kicking anybody to the curb. I mean, I think that he's great. And I think the more you see from Urshela, the offense will come back to the norm, and you're going to want to see Andújar back in the lineup every day.
Because that's the whole thing, Dave. What happens if and when Stan ever comes back? He's going to be the DH primarily. He'll play a little left field. But then what happens to Andújar? You got to play him every single game. This is insane. People are just forgetting what he did last year. He was an extra base hitting machine.
Nobody forgets. But you're a prisoner of the moment right now, Jack. Let's be fair. Urshela is unbelievable, and you want to ride the hot hand, and you want to win these games, and you're being successful, right?
I'm just concerned about what happens when Stan.
Andújar's not going anywhere. Now, you could shut him down, give him the surgery, and bring him back next year. At some point, that might be an option, but he's not. If he's, I say healthy, and I don't think that's even the fair word with him at this point. If he's capable of playing, he will play.
Well, one would hope. Keep losing those LBs, Dave.
Thank you, Jack.
You're looking fine.
You're a good man. I appreciate the kind words. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Richie in Jersey. Richie, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
What's up, Richie?
So Golden State, granted it was 5 years ago, but they did win the championship before Durant even got there.
Right, and they won 73 games without Kevin Durant, too.
That's right. And even though they won without Kevin Love was hurt in that finals because of the foul that Kelly Olynyk put on him. But so you still have the same core of people there. So
they're older and you don't have a lot of depth on this team. This used to be a team with a lot more depth than they have now.
That's true. But anyway, love the show. Thanks for taking the call.
Appreciate it. And you're right. Look, this was, and we know that, and Durant knows that. And I truly believe, ultimately, for Kevin Durant to finish off a career which will go down as one of the greats of all time, he probably needs to branch out on his own and win a championship. Because there will be people that go with the narrative of, yeah, he won, but he won with a ready-made team. And you can't argue that. I mean, do they win last year without him? Maybe not. Do they win the year before without him? Maybe not. But you can't argue with the fact that he joined a team which has already won a title and which was already great. You can't. It's not debatable. So does he need to go to a different team for that legacy? That's for him to determine. Joe in East Brunswick. Joey, you're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
What's up, Joe?
I just want to talk about Steph Curry's legacy actually got enhanced so much. He's just very humble to let – obviously, it's the GM's decision and the team owner's decision to bring in Durant. But just to be in the prime of his career, to give the keys over to Durant, and then when he's out to step – to become clutch and just get the team over the Rockets, that's just a clutch performance.
But does that surprise you, Joe? I mean, that's what he is.
Yeah, but it's very hard to go from giving the ball to Durant, him being the main scorer, to just all of a sudden in a game six, in a very clutch, to just will his team to win.
And I'm not taking anything away. He's amazingly clutch, and he's an all-time great player. But does it surprise you that he's capable of doing that? That in the big moment when they don't have the other elite player, that he's able to raise the level of his game and even banged up be able to play like that? Does that surprise you from Steph Curry?
It doesn't surprise me, but the fact that like he has let his legacy kind of take a back seat to Kevin Durant, and we have to give him more credit for willingly. A lot of superstars would not have done what he's done
I think you're right. I think that he and you're right. He has taken a back seat to a guy who's just, quite frankly, and let's be fair, the better player. Steph Curry is great. Kevin Durant is all-time legendarily great.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Of every five people that would come up to me and say hi, what do you think the first thing they said was?
Looking forward to Stump Rothenberg on Saturday.
Love Stump Rothenberg. Love it. Can't get enough of it. I mean, it is – I don't want to say sweeping the nation because it's not a national segment yet, but people can't get enough of it.
I love your confidence because you did say yet, which means we're trending in that direction.
Don't you feel like we are?
I do feel like that. By the way, got to let you know, we should play this game now going forward. Mm-hmm. When do we get the first call about Stump Rothenberg? Because we do it at 10:30. We're on the air at 9.
Have you gotten it yet today?
I got one at 9:15. I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. I can't leave you on hold for an hour and 15 minutes.
So he says, let me get involved with Stump Rothenberg at 9:15. The segment's at 10:30.
Here's what happens, though. It's such a popular, riveting segment.
Yeah.
That what you know, you get people to call in all at the same time. They're not getting through, so they figure, you know what? Let me call in early. It's like you know, you go to a play or you go to a movie. Let me get online earlier than everyone else. You get people calling in at 9:10, 9:15.
Yeah, but that doesn't fly. You got to call in around at least 10:20. At least 10:20.
You got to get lucky though. That's the thing.
I mean, we cannot help this, Ty. We have created a monster.
There are some people who want us to extend it to a 30-minute. Kind of Stump Rothenberg.
You always leave them wanting more, and that's what we do. And we'll do Stump Rothenberg at 10:30 this morning. They wanted to play on the bus yesterday. Can we play? I said, we're not playing Stump Rothenberg.
Well, you get exposed because on the bus, you don't get to Google it.
Right.
You
know. Lack of Google, lack of internet. Exactly. Although people were saying yesterday they would bet anything that there's no cheating going on.
No. And then you get Michael Kay calling in last week.
Big celebrities love the segment. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Harold in Jersey. Harold, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, Harold?
Just want to put Cashman in a little perspective, if I may.
Sure.
This decade, from 2010 to 2019, the Yankees have not only never won the World Series, they haven't been in the World Series. That's the first decade. Right. If that happens this year.
Which is amazing that you're considered a failure of a franchise in baseball if you don't go to a World Series for a decade. But continue.
Well, for the Yankees and from a Yankee family that's rooted for the Yankees for literally 100 years, yes, it's a failure. That's number one.
And Harold, in all due respect, this is the problem with the Yankees fan, is that if you don't go to a World Series for 10 years, you can't even fathom something like that.
I don't see that as a problem. I see that as a strength of the history of a franchise, that they are second to none, and their fans enjoy that fact. Number two, since the year 2001, they've won one World Series.
Right.
Okay? That is actually the beginning point of Cashman's tenure. I know he was there a couple years before, but the team that won the four World Championships was not his team. He did not put that team in place. Others did that.
So what are you saying, Harold? Yeah. You think he's not good? You think he's mediocre?
He's good. Now listen, but now let me balance it a little bit. He took Maybin.
Harold, 2 years ago, they had a team that no one had any expectations for, and they went Game 7 of the ALCS.
I agree, because they built, and Cashman was part of that, they built a minor league system that allowed them to bring some players up that were really good players. I love Judge. He's my favorite player. Okay, and I'm not saying they and I do would not have supported and didn't like the idea of Cashman trying to sign one of these high priced guys this year. I wouldn't give anybody 10 or 13 years. It's crazy. Okay, so I'm there with him, but on the other hand, and I'm trying to give balance to this. He's done some good things. I wanted to say, Yeshela,
Harold, they're competitive every single season. Look at the youth of this team. Look at the signings in the offseason. How could you say anything
and you know
but
what?
He's an elite general manager?
And my Cub fans, my friends who are Cub fans, and my friends who are Tampa Bay fans would love that. Not Yankee fans.
Harold, I got to go. I got a lot of people I want to get to. 800-919-3776. And Harold, right there, is the definition of why people look at the Yankees fan and shake their head. Because we haven't won a World Series in 10 years, and that's completely unacceptable. I mean, Dave, we haven't gone to the World Series. You know what? Welcome to real life in sports. But we're the Yankees, and we're accustomed to it. Well, you know what? That's why people can't stand you. That's why when I lived in Raleigh, North Carolina, you think I don't like the Yankees? They detest the Yankees. They hate the Yankees so much that I defended them when I lived in Raleigh.
You defending the Yankees.
Because it was unbelievable. There is a hatred that you can't even envision in other parts of this country for the Yankees. You're funny. You defended them. I did.
That says a lot.
And that's how much they're
detested.
Yankees.
They asked you on the show yesterday, and Rick said, as a Met fan, you know what? I'm going to admit it. I enjoy watching this Yankees team play. And you said, no. Speak for yourself, buddy.
Yeah, because I don't enjoy watching the Yankees succeed. But it just goes to show you,
exactly,
that's how vehement the vitriol is around the country for this club. People can't stand them. And I actually went on the defense for the Yankees when I lived in other parts of the country.
It would be like you having to defend Michael Jordan, who you despise.
Oh. Oh. Ugh.
Or defending Dak Prescott. How about that one?
Well, you can't do that.
Or so Tony Romo.
The last thing I'm going to do is defend a pedestrian quarterback.
Or Tony Romo.
See, Romo was a good quarterback. Prescott is not. But you get the point now. But sometimes when the people are so insane on the other side, you have to bring a semblance of normalcy. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Jordan in Jersey. Jordan, you're on 98.7.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
All right, Joy, what do you got?
Do you think Kevin Durant will come to the Knicks? I mean, I hope so.
We all hope so, Jordan. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. We're going to have to wait. Let's just wait. What's today? May 11th? So we got 20 days left of May. We got 30 days left of June. We got 50 days. We'll find out then. We'll find out the next step on Tuesday. You can hear the draft lottery live on 98.7 ESPN, and then we'll finish the task on July 1. I hope so. I'm desperate for it. I think it'd be great for New York basketball. I think it'd be great for our station. I think it would be just unbelievable. But do I have any insight that nobody else has? No. I mean, Stephen A. said yesterday on the K Show that he thinks that Durant and Kyrie are coming here. I hope he's right. I do not know. Daryl in Roosevelt. Daryl, you're next up. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, what's up, Dave? Good morning, sir.
How are you? Appreciate it. Go ahead.
Man, listen, I just hate to tell you, I'm an avid sports fan, but I've been watching basketball for a long time. I'm 62, and I just want to say all these sports announcers, Jeff Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, Jalen Rose, Paul Pierce, and Chauncey Billups, Stephen A. Smith, they all counted the Warriors out.
Hang on, Darryl. Let me ask you a question. Did I?
Not you.
No, not me, right?
But I'm just saying, these guys got egg on their face, bro. They figured because Kevin Durant went out that they wasn't strong enough to write. Oh, man, listen, what they did last night was really impressive. And James Harden, what a shame. This guy didn't even go and congratulate anybody.
Well, you know what I find interesting is the fact that people sleep on Golden State without Kevin Durant. Where if it's set a full long season, Darryl, thanks for the phone call. If it's 82 games, do I think that they can duplicate what they once did? No. I don't think there's a depth, and I think that they're older, and I think that injury has caught up with them a little bit. But do I think that they could win? I mean, how foolish would you have to be to think they couldn't win one of two games against Houston? They're still a terrific team. And just to show you how good they are, they're doing this without, and I understand that Boogie Cousins is not, you know, an integral part of the roster, but they're still doing it without two starters. They're doing it without the best, or they did it one and a quarter games. They did it without the best player in the league right now. And maybe Giannis says no, but otherwise, top two or three, definitely. And another starter? That's incredible at what this team is able to do. 800-919-3776. So we'll get to your calls. Yankees and the NBA are the big two topics. Mets a little bit, but not a lot to discuss. You go out and beat a AAA team, and good for you. That Pablo Lopez, I said on the show, was going to get lit up, and little did we realize. I mean, they bet 13 in the first inning, the Mets? They scored 8 runs, and they kept them in. They would not take them out. That was a nice, easy victory for the Mets. Now, go out, sweep this team. Get back to 500. Stay at home against Washington. It's Washington, Miami, Washington again. Let's get a little traction. Let's get above 500, and let's start to make some noise.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply-faced, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
All right, you can try. We'll see if you're able to be remotely successful. Last week, I think we were good. Kay did call in and stump me. 800-919-3776. Let's start out. Michelle, would you like to start out?
No, I would not like to start out. But I do have a special guest that's joining Stump Rothenberg this week. Say hello, special guest.
Hello, special guest.
Who is this special guest?
This is Gordon Damer, Dave.
Gordon Damer. Oh, one of my absolute favorites.
How are you feeling, my friend? Are you ready?
You've got me nervous now, Gordon.
All right. Well, look, I don't know. You might have heard this question before. I listen to Stump Rothenberg every week, but I've not ever heard anything close to this. So I'm going to give it to you. It's very straightforward. It ties in baseball and football. It's a great question.
So it's a sports question.
It's a sports question.
Love it.
Here
go ahead.
We go.
Okay.
1979 Major League Baseball amateur draft. The preeminent 1980s New York first baseman, Don Mattingly, was taken in the 19th round of the 1979 Major League Baseball amateur draft.
Okay.
But there were three future starting quarterbacks in the NFL who were drafted in the baseball draft that year before Mattingly. The question is, who are those three future NFL starting quarterbacks?
Well, John Elway has to be one of them.
Absolutely. John Elway was taken in the 18th round, one round before Mattingly.
Dan Marino.
Dan Marino was taken in the 4th round. So, yeah, that's the two. The two easy ones you have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Can you come up with the third?
I don't know that I can. I feel somewhat vindicated that I at least got two of your three.
Two of them you nailed. Those are the two, yeah. And you would have an association with this guy in your fandom of the Giants. I'll give you a little clue that way.
It's like Phil Sims is too easy. It can't be Phil Sims.
No, it was not Phil Sims.
Yeah, and it's not going to be Scott Bruner. Boy. Jay Schrader?
Jay Schrader is the guy. Jay Schrader was taken 3rd overall, way before a lot of guys who went on to have great baseball careers. Yeah. But it makes sense because Schrader had a cannon for an arm.
I remember that.
He was the 3rd overall pick in the draft.
And I believe, if memory serves correctly, he went to UCLA. And Jay Schrader is the quarterback that replaced Joe Theismann after he
broke
his leg in 86, which is probably what you're referencing.
Yes, absolutely.
And there
very good, Dave. I would say I would give you credit for that. Yes, I would give you credit. You got the answer before you were stumped.
There you go.
All
Gordon,
right, Dave,
I appreciate
well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gordon, for participating. So last week, Kay calls in. He gets me. This week, Gordon calls in, and I get him. So that's how it works. Ty, you're unbelievably impressed with that.
I'm very impressed. That was awesome. You did get a guess and got it wrong, but I'm willing to look past that.
I think I did well. And now also, in fairness to me, we're not supposed to have three-part questions.
That's true, but
in fairness to me, we're not supposed to have three-part questions.
It was still a phenomenal
question. What's happening
now
is Stump Rothenberg is sweeping. It goes beyond just the average listener. People who are at the station, celebrity, they want involvement. And you're welcome. You're welcome to get involved. All right, let's go quickly around here. Let's go to Trey in Brooklyn. Trey, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, real quick, you were very wrong about that weather report that you had, man. You said it was supposed to rain last night, and it didn't. It rained last night over there in Flushing. Oh, it rained last night.
Not when I was at the game.
Oh, it rained. You didn't see all those runs we put on the board last night, Dave?
Oh, I like what you're doing there, Trey. Dave. Very sweet. Very cute.
Catch me, Dave. Catch me, Dave.
There you go, Trey. All right, what do you got? Come on, let's get back to Stump Rothenberg.
All right, Yankee question. Here we go. We all know Mo is the number one in saves all time for the Yankees in baseball, right? We know that.
Yes.
Who's number two? Who's number two in Yankee history behind him?
Second most saves in Yankee history. Clearly Mo is number one. Goose Gossage?
No, Dave.
Who is it?
Spaghetti Rigetti. 224.
Okay. Nice. There you go. Okay. I feel comfortable with my Gossage guess. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Jesse in Lodi. Jesse, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
How you doing, Dave?
Good, Jess.
Awesome. NBA awards coming up. NBA awards question. Only point guard to win the NBA Defensive Player of the Year award.
I'm thinking Fat Lever, but I'm thinking that's probably wrong.
No, that's wrong. Gary Payton.
Who is it?
Gary Payton, the glove.
All right, that's a good question. All right, we got to get back on track now. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Mike in Farmingdale. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, what's up, man?
What's up?
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready. What's the genre of this question?
Maritime history.
Maritime history.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Specifically the Titanic.
Okay.
Okay, so we know Titanic was a British registered ship that was built in Ireland, but it was owned by an American tycoon. Who
J.P. Morgan.
That man? You are correct.
All right, we're back on track. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Mark in Lyndhurst. Mark, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
What's going on? All righty. Can you name the last three MLB pitchers to throw a solo no-hitter and to throw a bonus in there? If you can name the team no-hitter, the last team that threw a team effort no-hitter.
Wait, I have no understanding what the question is.
The last three MLB pitchers to throw a no-hitter by themselves, and then the bonus question, the last team effort no-hitter. made by a team.
All right. So Ty is already under the gun because they're supposed to be single questions. Mike Fiers threw a no-hitter.
Correct. That's the last one.
James Paxton threw a no-hitter. And the Dodgers, yep. I think, threw a four-pitcher no-hitter as well.
That was the bonus one, yeah. Yep. And then, the other player, the last player, that would
Sean
be a
Manaea.
Solo no-hitter.
Sean Manaea.
Yes, that's him. You got him all right, baby.
I got him all right. You really do. But Ty, it's a bad job by you because they're supposed to be singular questions. We'll let that slide. 800-919-3776. John in Queens, you're on Stump Rothenberg, John.
All right, Dave. How you doing?
Good.
Good. So, category is movie stars.
Okay.
Who is the tallest actress to win an Academy Award?
Not a bad question. Tallest actress to win an Academy Award. Gina Davis?
You got it. 6 feet.
Ah. There you go. And the reason that Gina Davis was on the mind, and this is interesting, is because she actually went to the Olympics in archery, and someone asked that question a few weeks ago and said that this was an actress who won an Academy Award and was an Olympian. And I didn't know it, but I registered it away, and I brought it back today. This is what we do. 800-919-3776. All right, let's continue. Eddie, Long Island. Eddie, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave, how are you? Hope you
What's
had a
up,
good
Eddie?
Time last night.
You were at the event?
All right. Yes. No, I did not. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, we had a great time. I appreciate it. Thanks for the shout-out. What do you got today? I'm hot, Eddie.
Right.
I'm hot.
I know, and I hope you continue. You ready for this?
What's the genre? Where are we going?
We're going sports.
Okay.
What quarterback holds the highest quarterback rating in a Super Bowl?
Phil Simms.
Wow. Very good.
22 of 25, 268 yards and 3 touchdowns. Out of Moorhead State, that would be one Phil Simms. Ty, what do you think? You think we call it? I mean, we've knocked it out of the park.
Come on.
We've
beaten We're 9 minutes into the segment. We can't call it here. We have a clock.
Ready for mine?
Oh, do you have someone behind the curtain, like a Gordon Damer, or you're going to actually ask your own question here?
No, I have my own question.
Okay. And what genre would your question involve?
Music.
Oh, what do you do this to me for?
You should get this one.
No, I'm not going to get it.
Name the album that was the first CD pressed in the United States.
And I should get this.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Born in the USA.
Told you would get it.
I completely guessed at it. I was thinking that era, what was popular that era.
Well, that was a good guess.
It was a good guess. All right, let's go to, now we go tie or you're going to want to continue, right?
I'm sorry, say that again?
You want to continue, don't you?
Of course.
All right, because you want me to get one wrong.
No, I want you to continue this hot streak.
Yeah. Andrew in Jersey. Andrew, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Give me the only player in history to have played in a Super Bowl and an NCAA National Basketball Championship game.
Donovan McNabb.
Nope.
Yes. All right, what's the answer?
Julius Peppers. Have a good day.
There you go. All right, nice job. Nice job. Felix in Astoria. Felix, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
How you doing?
What's up, Felix?
1976, Yankees-Reds World Series. Mm-hmm. Only Yankee to hit a home run.
Only Yankee to hit a home run.
Correct.
Yankees
had four games.
Yeah, I know. They cleaned up in that. That was a good team. Only Yankee to hit a home run in that. So Johnny Bench, I remember, had home runs in that. But you're looking for the Yankee to hit the home run. Right.
Right. Only Yankee to hit a home run.
It's not going to be Chambliss. It's going to be, I don't know. I don't know. Is it? I don't know. I don't know who it is.
You ready?
Yeah.
Jim Mason, who came in for defensive purposes in game 3 for Fred Stanley.
All right. I don't feel terrible about that. I don't feel badly about that at all. Let's go to Sean in Freehold. Sean, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, Dave. Who threw out the first pitch in David Cohen's perfect game?
I know it's going to – is it Larson?
It is Larson.
Yeah, I knew there was some connection there.
And to make it even weirder, Larson and Boomer Wells went to the same high school.
All right. There you go, Rich. Thanks for the call, Sean. Now are we done, Ty?
I think we got one more. We got a really good question. Mike and Beth Pace has a phenomenal question.
I'm not ending it on a down note. We've had a very successful Stump Rothenberg. So if you were going to go Mike, if we get it wrong, we're going to go more.
Okay. I've got a layup for you hanging in the chamber.
You do?
Absolutely.
All right. Let's go to Mike and Beth Page. Mike, go ahead.
Rothenberg, good to hear from you once again. All right. So my question is in United States geography.
Okay.
So the question is, this state entered the Union in 1820 after separating from another state that began with the same two letters.
Maine.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I got to hang up, dude. You're the best.
Thank you. And there we go. All right. That was very successful. That was a terrific job by me. Top of my game. And away we go. Ty, what do you think?
I thought it was phenomenal.
That was very well done. That was very,
very
well done. Good job all around. We'll do it again next Saturday at 10:30 in the morning.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
We welcome in the biggest, the brightest that Las Vegas has to offer, and that, of course, is RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ Bell.
They're thinking that Jeopardy guy was going to be on.
Did you see that guy's getting potential offers from major league teams to get involved in the analytics department?
Well, listen, I mean, you think about how many people have played that game over many, many decades. And, you know, he's as good as anyone's ever been. And some of it is the game theory, right? The way he picks, you know, how aggressive he is on the daily doubles and various other kind of theory type betting, you know, in a way. Really, every time you get a daily double, you're betting, right? So expert there, but obviously has to be an expert at the trivia also.
It's fun. He's really made Jeopardy must watch every single day. So we had a big station event last night, yesterday, all day, in fact. We went out to Citi Field, and we took in the Mets and the Marlins game, and it was wonderful from top to bottom. And I was asked by numerous people about you.
Really?
The segment with RJ is so good. He's so knowledgeable. You guys have such great chemistry. You are becoming a really big piece of ESPN New York 98.7 FM.
Well, listen, you know, Stephen A. and I did a segment for 3 years. And, you know, it was an honor to do that. And now, you know, during football, you know, I was doing two weeklies during the week. We had our hour on Saturday. And let's be candid, no one expected this to go past the Super Bowl. But as everyone keeps looking at this landscape of media and with sports betting, you know, let's be honest, Dave, you understand this better than most of the listeners, better probably than me, is these media companies are craving revenue, right? Because you got the old school media companies, New York Times, let's say, Wall Street Journal, mm-hmm. Washington Post, USA Today. Those are four brands big enough. And obviously the Washington Post with Bezos and his money helped, right? Who knows what would have happened, but he came in with the cash. Here they are. They're able to do okay, right? They're figuring out how to have that digital online, you know, $9 a month or whatever. They're doing just fine. But even papers like the LA Times, let's say the next tier, Chicago Tribune, I'm not saying they're going out of business tomorrow, but do you know many people that have an LA Times paywall subscription? Right?
I don't know anybody that does.
Yeah. So it's like there's going to be a handful of the legacy guys. And then you've got the new school, right? Vice Digital. You've got BuzzFeed and others. Those companies, if you look at the reporting on them, they just don't do – they're not making money. Why? Because for the amount of money it takes to produce the content, they can't make enough on the advertising. So sports is the same thing. Now, you also have The Athletic, what they're trying to do with the subscription. But here's what I know. people are willing to pay a modest amount of money to help their gambling because they're risking money. So it kind of makes sense. So my guess is in 2 or 3 years, hopefully we're talking, we'll just be discussing how 7, 8, 9 major media companies try to get involved on the content side with premium sports betting content. To me, the sky's the limit.
I think in 2 to 3 years, there's a very good chance you and I will actually be best of friends.
Well, you know, I got married 11 years ago, June. And I had
by the way, I just celebrated 15 this week.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
She must be
you have no
so
idea.
Tolerant.
You really have absolutely no idea.
That's what they say to me, too. So 11 years ago, and I had three people, you know, so I'm 48 now, so 37. I had three people in the wedding. One I met when I was 5, one when I was 11, one when I was 13. So, Dave, I embrace the idea that we would be like good buddies. Probably not going to usurp those guys.
All right. I think that's fair. I mean, friends you've had since 13, I'm not looking to get in the way of that. But I see our relationship on the upswing. Is it fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. And quite frankly, for me, it's based on the quality of your broadcasting.
Well, how about the fact that I was asked to do Stephen A. yet again this past week?
I noticed, but I noticed some other guys in there, too, in my podcast feed. Who's the other guy?
Randy Scott did it on Tuesday.
You want me to start, like, maybe bashing him on Twitter?
No, I think that's unnecessary.
You want to text me offline?
I'll talk to you later. All right, 800-919-3776. First of all, the one thing that surprised me bigger and better than anything was that after Game 5, RJ, that Houston was a 7.5-point favorite going into the game last night, sans Kevin Durant. That was ridiculous.
Well, I mean, in hindsight, it might have been, but let's identify the analog. Which game was most like Game 6 and Game 3 would meet that criteria, as in home for Houston, max motivation, right? Because if they had lost Game 3, they were out of it.
Right.
So the line in that game was 3.5. Houston favored by 3.5. Now, how much is Durant worth?
I get it. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me that the Warriors are too talented to be in a 7.5 or an 8-point underdog in a crucial basketball game.
Well, I will say this because I said this on our show and it was a big deal. I had my NBA underdog of the year on Golden State on the money line. It was a plus 280 we cashed. What a game. But here was my thinking. One is not many teams, maybe no teams, and I'll ask you if you think, have a number two that can be a true alpha top scorer. All right, so who's got the best number two in the NBA?
Sans, Golden State. We're
exactly.
The Warriors. I mean, maybe Houston. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, but who would it be? Would it be
CP3?
Oklahoma
City, right, with Paul George and Russell Westbrook?
You know, that's the name that comes up. But then, you know what's interesting? Who's got a good second scorer after that?
After that, no. Neither of those teams have the next guy up.
Yeah, so what we saw with Golden State, and here's the thing. Durant, before last night, had missed 40 games in his 3 years for Golden State.
And their record was insane, right?
It was 30-10 in those games. Even better when Steph played, right? But just 30-10 without him. If you look at the record of Golden State with him, with Durant, it was actually, so 30-10 was 75%. It was 74.9. So amazingly, they had a better record entering the game yesterday, straight up, Golden State did without Durant. Now, obviously, that's a little bit of an aberration. But I think the idea that you got an alpha to step up, be the number one scorer, it's so rare in the NBA. And yeah, your number six becomes 5, 7 becomes 6. But it's almost like how much would you upgrade, and let's do an NFL analogy, how much would you upgrade the Patriots if they traded for Aaron Rodgers right now?
Not a lot.
The theory being Aaron Rodgers is the backup, unless Brady gets hurt. he's not contributing, right? So in a weird way, Durant, I think we're seeing, maybe has redundant skills for Golden State. And since he's probably leaving, that's probably a good thing for Golden State. But what other team can say that? You lose a guy like Durant, and you've got someone to slide in to that top scorer role. It really is impressive. Golden State deserves a lot of credit.
A ton of credit to win a game on the road without, and let's remember, and I know he's not a huge piece, but Boogie Cousins also out for the postseason, Kevin Durant out, RJ Bell with us, 98.7 ESPN. Now you said something, Kevin Durant probably leaving. Is that the viewpoint in Vegas, odds wise, that he's going to move on from Golden State?
You know, Stephen A. himself this week, I listen to his show religiously, and when you guest host, 50% of the time, I'd say.
Well, why?
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dave. Uh-huh. You're probably one of the five or six most talented broadcasters I've worked with, or even done hits with. But I'm going to be 100% candid, just
okay,
to
bring
see.
Bring us behind the curtain. Let me know.
All right. 4 years ago, I thought Stephen A. radio was by far his lesser skill set.
Okay.
You know, if it was First Take versus radio, it would have been First Take all the way. I mean, this guy just learns. He's like, you know, he just is consuming knowledge, because right now Stephen A. might be my favorite guy on radio.
Okay, and that's fine.
Yeah,
but why do I fall to five or six?
Well, I mean, listen, I've worked with some. You don't want me to start naming names, do you?
Well, who's above me? Yeah, I want to hear names.
I mean, I've done weeklies with Colin Cowherd for 7 years.
So Colin goes above me. Stephen goes above me.
Yeah. You know, I wasn't even – you make an interesting point.
See, so you're like the kind of guy that can't go to a nice restaurant and order just a normal meal that you're going to enjoy. You have to go for, like, the most expensive thing. You're wowed
well,
who's paying?
Who's paying?
It doesn't matter.
Well, doesn't matter. Come
enough.
On.
You can steal
come
the late
on.
Day.
Yeah, let's just say this. There's a handful, I'd say, more pedigreed, and you're right in that next tier. And I don't want to waste time even trying to demarcate between those guys. You're just in there with a lot of, you know, a handful of talented guys.
All right, I'm a little disappointed to think I'm not higher on your list, but that's fine.
Listen, maybe you should be talking to your program director, because on the Humpty and Canny, and then they got that little tagline with "and Rothenberg." You know, I'm showing you a ton of respect, buddy. Don't be getting on me.
All right. Maybe I will. Maybe I have to analyze everything.
Do you have an agent?
A real look at everything going on.
Is it your wife disguising her voice?
Wait, what happened?
Do you have an agent, or is it your wife disguising her voice?
I have an agent.
So what's he
think? So you're
saying
he's doing a bad job?
I don't know. Maybe he thinks he's like, he can't believe he's got you the gig he's got you. I just believe in you. So maybe, you know, that's the ultimate question, I guess. Does your agent believe in you as much as I do?
Well, we'll have to find that out. Maybe we got a phone call.
You
want to
call
placed.
Him and do a little three-way right on air?
I don't know that I'm comfortable with that. All right, let's turn our attention to this Durant thing. You fully believe. You started this by saying that Stephen A., and then you morphed into some kind of a topic that wasn't even anywhere near.
No, you keep kept saying, you kept saying, where do I rank?
RJ, please keep your focus. Vegas believes that Durant is leaving Golden State. Yes or no?
I'm not sure if I've seen odds, because Vegas can't do. So people use Vegas generically, right, for odds. But Vegas has a lot of restrictions here. We can't put up a lot of stuff like next team and all that. But the online books can. But I'll tell you this, talking to people, you know, because I do media, you know, people who are the talking heads off air, I mean, it's like 90-95% they think he's leaving.
Boy, I hope so. And is the belief of all the elite people that you speak to, because you're in that kind of high and mighty class, that he's going to come to the Knicks?
They are certainly favored. And same thing, we actually had odds on Kyrie where he's going to end up. The first favorite was Brooklyn. Second favorite, New York Knicks. Third favorite was Boston, but still like about a 20% chance. And then the two next favorites were the LA teams. So Kyrie very likely to be out of Boston. I think most people agree with that.
Yeah, I don't see any way he returns to Boston.
and very likely to be playing somewhere in the five boroughs next year.
You know what? I think there's a real chance, RJ, that Durant and Kyrie come to the Knicks. And I'm hesitant in getting so ultimately excited about it, but I think there's a real chance that that happens.
I think wherever those two go, it's probably correlated. Meaning, and again, I'm not sure of all the tampering laws or regulations, but you know they're not just going to go to a place and just hope and cross their fingers that someone else gets signed.
No, it's going to be a predetermined plan. They're going to get together, and they're going to figure out where they want to play together.
And in a way, you think with if there was any situation, you think just going there would have been enough. LeBron, you know, the number one guy for over a decade in the league. Magic, the Lakers, that pedigree. And let's be candid. If you had to make a bet right now, who's going to win more games in the next 3 years, the Lakers or the Clippers? Would you be, like, super anxious to bet the Lakers?
No, I'd have to see what happens this offseason.
Yeah, so in a way, the Lakers have that it's almost like they're a trust fund kid. They can make a lot of mistakes. They can go to rehab. But the dad can or the guy running the trust can write that $100,000 check. I think the Lakers are kind of like that. They can make a bunch of mistakes, but it just takes one more top seven guy, eight guy, and then the Lakers are right in it.
Right back. Because you got to assume, and we'll get into this in a little bit later, you got to assume that LeBron is going to come back with a vengeance next year.
Well, that's interesting. And, you know, I try not to talk about other networks here, but this was something Colin was talking about that, you know, he's in L.A. and he knows people, and he said that if LeBron were 3 or 4 years even younger, that he would demand a trade. And that because he's older, his kids are where they are, they just moved, all the kind of realities of life, even if you're worth 100+ million, he's going to stay. Boy, isn't that an indictment, though, if you're a Laker fan? Like, hey, this place is a mess.
I would
really get worked up about it, but I don't care enough to get worked up about it, so I'll be back next year. So I hear you on one side. On the other side, LeBron's the type, and I mean, I've never spoken to him, but just watching him, where when things go bad, he tends to disengage. So do you think he's going to go play hero ball a whole season and put all those miles on his legs for them to be the seventh seed or something?
Not to be the seventh seed.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.